AN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy to cloudy sky. It's 53 degrees in Atlantic. We do look for a chance for scattered showers today and a high of 66. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In local news, the Atlantic School Board, during their meeting Wednesday evening, discussed a possible change in the field surface at the Trojan Bowl. The options include a natural grass surface, a synthetic field, or sod. Superintendent Steve Barber said they've learned since the $9.5 million bond issue passed that two of those options are problematic, especially when it comes to the 2020 and 2021 football season.
In order to put natural turf in there, it would take at least a year to establish. So if we end up playing football till the middle of late October, and we got the grass in before the snow flew, that we would probably need to wait the whole season to play on that field. So then the next suggestion was sod. First of all, it costs more money. Second of all, something that the base doesn't form.
You don't get the roots.
They don't really grow down. They kind of grow together. You can play on it the first season, but you don't have as good a product as you would have if you just seeded it.
Your second and third season are going to be mud holes, probably.
Board member Keith Swanson asked if it was possible for the football team to play all of their games on the road instead of at the Trojan Bowl while the natural grass grows, and the rest of the board wasn't receptive to that idea.
We don't want to.
I was going to say, if you had a senior, playing, they want to play their games.
Especially homecoming.
There's a $600,000 difference between using natural turf and synthetic turf, since that would be a change from the original concept of the money was bonded for. If the board elects to go with that type of turf, they would have to raise money privately to make up the difference or hope for lower bids once the decision is made. Snyder & Associates engineer Dave Sturm said they could hope for that, but the bids could be much higher. The $8.5 million construction project, he said, will no doubt attract numerous bids, and there is a group looking to come up with the extra funds to help pay for the synthetic turf surface.
And that's no secret here. When the facility plan got put together 3 years ago, there was always conversation about there's potentially some private people out there that would be willing to help in that project. So I guess there's a group exploring that option at this particular time.
In-kind contributions from subcontractors could also help to reduce the cost. Superintendent Barber said the school board needs to make a decision by their next meeting on May the 8th. Board President Josh McLaren says if they don't go after the synthetic turf now, in 2 or 3 years, they'll probably regret it.
If we do grass it, and then, in 2 years, we're going to be like, why didn't we put turf on here? And then we're going to be back at a construction again and then tearing up what we just did.
That's the
back of my head saying, I think now's the time to do it.
The plan, you may recall, also calls for upgrades to the baseball softball complex, a new parking area at Washington Elementary, a safer unloading and loading area for middle school and elementary students, and a new synthetic turf field at the high school soccer field, along with the complete renovation of Trojan Bowl, which initially included the natural grass surface. The Cass County Board of Supervisors met Tuesday morning in Atlantic, and according to Auditor Dale Sunderman, during their session, the board discussed a request from Montgomery County to share the services of the Cass County engineer Charles Bechtold on an interim basis. Montgomery County engineer Brad Skinner submitted his resignation to their Board of Supervisors during a special meeting on April 11th. Bechtold would serve in an interim position until a new engineer is hired in Montgomery County if the agreement is approved. Since Bechtold was away from the county on Tuesday, he could not address the matter, and it was tabled until the board's next meeting on April 30th. In other business, Cabida, the Valley Business Park Corporation members Don Sontag and Keith Harlan requested the board not dispose of the Valley Business Park site. They believe the site continues to have developmental potential. Their request was taken under advisement. A report was also received from County Conservation Director Micah Lee, who presented his third quarter FY 2019 report of activity at the county recreational sites, including maintenance at Cold Springs, West Nottoway area, T-Bone Trail, Pellet Memorial Woods, and Outdoor Classroom, and the Naturalists Environmental Education activities. She had 143 programs presented to 2,612 persons. And Cass County Veterans Affairs Executive Director Mitch Holmes gave a report of his third quarter FY 2019 activity. He said during the quarter, 152 veterans received assistance for federal VA benefits and or local general assistance. The need for housing was the primary concern raised on Wednesday during the first meeting of the governor's flood advisory board. Governor Kim Reynolds says the state is waiting for the Federal Emergency Management Agency to respond to a request for temporary housing trailers.
Over 25,000 homes have been demolished or have had some kind of damage, and over 4,200 businesses, and my guess is that's probably still a little bit on the short side of the numbers that we're going to see as we continue to move through the process.
FEMA is approving some money for individual homeowners to repair essential living space. Cindy Axney, who represents Southwest Iowa's 3rd Congressional District, said she's met with flood victims who've been told they won't be getting grants to repair their entire home.
These homes won't even be able to be repaired fully with $35,000, let alone $17,000 or $20,000.
Iowa's Republican governor and Democratic Congresswoman Axney talked after the meeting to discuss collaborating on the flood response, and both opened the meeting by emphasizing bipartisanship.
It's going to just require a significant amount of coordination, not only at the local, state, federal level. So I'm so appreciative that Congresswoman Axney is here. It's going to take all of us working together.
You know, I want everybody to understand, you know, this is fully an Iowa issue. This is not a partisan issue. This is something that we're all working on hard together.
The head of Iowa Workforce Development reports 95 people have filed for unemployment benefits because they've lost their job due to the flooding. In other news, the Atlantic Police Department reports two people were arrested on drug charges recently. On Saturday, 26-year-old Daniel Jones of Atlantic was arrested for possession of a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and child endangerment. On April 19th, 51-year-old Charles DeJong of Atlantic was arrested for possession of drug paraphernalia, theft in the fifth degree, and on a Cass County warrant for theft in the fifth. Both men were booked into the Cass County jail. On April 18th, 39-year-old Michael Trotter of Atlantic was cited by police for harassment in the third degree. Trotter was released with a citation to appear in court. The Creston Police Department says a woman residing in the 400 block of North Oak Street in Creston reported on Wednesday that sometime between 1 and 9 a.m. Wednesday, someone cut the driver's side rear tire on her vehicle while the vehicle was parked outside of her residence. Loss was estimated at $120. And a Creston man reported Wednesday evening that sometime over the course of the past 5 to 7 months, someone had attempted to gain entry to his residence in the 500 block of West Townline Street. Damage to the front and back doors of the home was estimated at $500. It's not clear, authorities say, if entry to the residence was made. The Cass County Conservation Board is sponsoring a wildflower walk this Saturday, April 27th. The program will be held at the Pellet Memorial Woods, north of Atlantic, just east of Olive Street, beginning at 9 a.m. The event is free, and the Oak Strollers Nature Club for families are welcome to join the event. You're invited to walk through the early spring wildflowers with naturalist Laura Canning and learn the names, uses, and histories of the wildflower. Those in attendance will meet at Pellet Memorial Woods, located just outside of Atlantic, about a half mile north and three quarters of a mile east of the KJAN radio station. Well, during the school year, the Summer Backpack Program assists children and families of Cass County who may need food assistance on weekends and over the holidays. There are some programs during the summer, but it's known that with students home for summer vacation, there will be an increased need among families to provide nutritious food for their children. The Cass County Democratic Party is sponsoring a summer food drive meant to supplement the summer programs. Chair Sherry Telly says we need individually prepared, non-perishable food items such as puddings, Jell-O-type products, cereals, pasta meals, canned or packaged tuna and chicken, ramen noodles, and other foods that, if the parents are gone during the day, the children can prepare easily for themselves. Telly said also we'll have drop-off sites in most communities throughout the county. The food drive will run through May 24th, and volunteers from the Democratic Party will handle pickup and delivery of all the food donations, which will remain in Cass County. The drop-off sites include in Anita at the city clerk's office and library, in Atlantic, the Fairway store, and a private home at 10 East 3rd Street, 13th Street, and the YMCA. In Cumberland, at the telephone company, the library, City Hall, and Houghton State Bank. In Griswold, the drop-off sites are the Rolling Hills Bank, the library, City Hall, and the telephone company. In Lewis, at the library. In Messina, at their library, along with FMB Bank and Economy Food Mart. Well, Republicans in the Iowa legislature have developed a plan they say will bring transparency to property taxes. Iowans could check new notices online and in newspapers up to the value of their local homes, businesses, and farms are assessed that show what property tax rate would be charged if city and county budgets stayed the same. Property tax hikes that are greater than 2% would have to be approved by two-thirds of members of a city council or county board of supervisors. Republicans, like Representative Dustin Height, says it means local officials wouldn't be able to let sizable tax increases automatically go into effect when property values go up.
When somebody's property taxes go up, the check they write to the county treasurer goes up. Somebody should have had to vote for that and take responsibility for that.
Height, the former mayor of New Sharon, says this shouldn't hamstring local governments.
What I think it's going to do is make cities and counties think about what they're doing and think about it in a hard way to make sure that they are only raising those taxes that they really think are necessary.
Senator Randy Feenstra, a Republican from Hull, spoke early Wednesday evening just before the Republican senators approved the plan.
This bill is all about truth and taxation.
Democrats like Representative Timmy Brown Powers of Waterloo say the bill has changed significantly from its original version, and the public has had little chance to examine the final product.
So we went from, in my opinion, a really, really, really bad bill to now a bad bill.
Senator Pam Yoakum, a Democrat from Dubuque, said the bill will make it harder for communities to grow.
I can tell you that in the state of Wisconsin, they did something similar a few years ago, and listen up, rural Iowa. The little towns and villages of Wisconsin are hollowing out.
If Governor Kim Reynolds signs the bill into law, it would go into effect July 1st of 2020, impacting the next round of budgeting by Iowa cities and counties. That is a check of our news this hour on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen.